In the past, we have spoken about the seating arrangement in shul, the height of the bima. We've spoken about the differences between the bima and the amud. But a topic that we have not discussed in any great detail is the location of the bima. And even though we have sort of touched on this in the past, we've covered some of these sources, we're now going to try to examine the topic in more detail. So where is the bima or the shulchan? In certain shuls, they don't have a bima, they just have a shulchan. Where is it supposed to be placed and why? Now, this topic came up due to the fact that in my shul, they recently redid the base medrash. And when I walked in, I saw that the shulchan, the bima, was all the way in the front of the shul. And I immediately contacted the Rav and I asked, is this supposed to be this way? And he said, of course not, it's supposed to be in the middle. So I figured this might be a topic of interest to see why the bima basically goes in the middle, why it doesn't go in the front, and if there's any other arrangement. So the origin of this topic, at least according to the Gra, as cited in the Mishnah Berurah, comes from the Gemara in Sukkah, Nun Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara, in describing the great shul in Alexandria, so it states that there was a wooden bima, or a raised platform. Bima is something raised in the middle of the shul. So let's see source number one. Tanya Rav Yehuda Omer, Mishalo Ra, Dio Plustone, Shal Alexandria, Shal Mitzrayim, person who hasn't seen the great synagogue in Alexandria, Theoplustum doesn't mean a synagogue. It means either architectural layout. In the Art Scroll, he says a double colonnade, or it might mean other things. If you haven't seen the shul, you haven't seen the honor of Yisrael. And what is one of the things that makes this shul special? Ubima shel eitz be'emtza isa. It has a wooden platform in the middle. And the shul was so big that the Chazan HaKnesses only Allah, they would have the Gabbai stand on top of the bima, the Hasudarn biyado, with flags in his hand, the Kevin Sheyil Anos Amin. And when the time came, when he heard the Shliach Tzibur reach the end of a bracha, where he's supposed to answer Amin, so the shul was so big people couldn't hear. What did he do? Halomenev Besudar V'cholam Onu Amin. He would wave the flag and everyone would know that it's time to answer Amin. So Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, so if you look at number 2, he writes as follows, Umamidim bima be'emtza habayis. We place the bima in the middle of the shul. Why is this? Kedei sheyale alaha hakori b'torah, so that the Baal Kriya should stand on it, or a person who's speaking to the congregation. Kedei sheyishme'u kulam, because we want people to be able to hear. And when the bima is in the center of the shul, in a central location, it's easier for people to hear. So the Torah basically writes the same thing as the Rambam. If you look at number 3, he writes, Umamidim bima be'emsa beis ha'knesses. We place the bima in the middle of the shul. La'amur olaha kori b'torah, so the Baal Kriya could stand on it. Kedei sheyishmu kulam, so that everyone can hear. So we clearly see that the Torah basically says the same as the Rambam. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, so the Ramah kind of quotes the same thing again. So let's look in number 4. The Rama writes, Ve'osin bima be'emsa beis ha'knesses. We put the bima in the middle of the shul. She'yamur olea akori b'torah. V'yishmu'u kulam. So again, the point is that we want everyone to hear. So what's missing? The fact that the Mechaber doesn't say a thing about this halacha, right? So it's pretty stark. We have the Rambam. We have the Tur. We have the Rama. And the Mechaber doesn't say a word. So there's good reason for this, because if we look in the Kesef Mishnah, we can see that the Mechaber has a different opinion on where the bima is supposed to be situated. So let's see the Kesef Mishnah, number 5. So he's commenting on why, in certain shuls, the bima is not in the middle, but rather it's in the west. Ve'al teshiveni me'habimos shabonim b'yamim ha'ilu, b'ktzat mekomos, b'sopis ha'knesis v'lo b'emtza. He says, don't come and speak to me about the bimos that are built today in certain places, where they build it in the west and not in the middle. And let's skip down one line. Ki ha'amada be'emtza einu me'achiv. Because placing the bima in the middle of the shul, unlike what the Rambam said and what the Torah said and what the Ramah said, he says, there's no chiv to do that. Acha kol lefi ha'makum v'hazman. It all has to do with the place, meaning what does it look like inside, and the time period. Sheba osam hazmanim, because when it came to those time periods, shehayu bate kinesios gedolim an ma'od, they had very large shuls. So in those cases, hayu tzrichim laham et habima ba'emsa, hei la'ashmiel l'cholam, we want everyone to hear, we have to put it in the middle. Avo bizmanim halalu, but today, sheba avonosenu We have much smaller shuls. And therefore, if we put the bima in the west, everyone could hear. So it comes out better when it's placed in one side rather than being placed in the middle. Now, being that the Rambam says one thing, and the Mechaber says another, so we find various practices among Spanish Jewry, but it appears that we could even find such a thing in Ashkenaz shuls for some reason. Seems that we are pretty makel about this. So an example of this would be Beth Shalom. So it has a beautiful Sephardi setup. So the bima is in the western side of the shul, and on three sides you have the benches around it. So I'm not sure how that happened, but it is a very nice setup. So this discussion gives us the background for the common Ashkenaz custom of having the bima in the middle of the shul, as well as the partial Sephardi custom of having a bima in the western side of the shul. So here's where things become interesting. So the Reform movement began in the later part of the 18th century, and while, as we pointed out, the halacha requires the bima to remain in the middle of the shul, at some point the Reform movement moved the bima to the front, and this became a real point of contentious controversy between the Reform and Orthodox. So I'm not sure which was the first temple to move the bima to the front, but the idea was to make the temple look more like a church, and thereby make Jews more comfortable in attending services. So the Chassam Sofer, he died in 1839, so clearly this was sometime before then, so he was asked this question. So in his tshuva, he was asked about a shul that did some renovations, and they now want to move the bima to the front, as it will look nicer, and there will be more room. So the first interesting point is that the Chassam Sofer understands the Kasav Mishnah that we just quoted as a limud schus on those who move the bima from the middle of the room, right? When I read it originally, I didn't think of it as a limud schus, but that's how he understands it. Meaning, even the Mechaber would agree that it should remain in the middle, but it doesn't have to be in the middle. He then points out that the shul in Alexandria, the bima was in the middle, and yet the people still couldn't hear, but they left it in the middle and they used flags. The next point he says is that our bima is in place of the inner mizbeach, and just like the inner mizbeach was in the middle of the kodesh, so too in our mikdash ma'at, the bima must remain in the middle of the shul. Another point he mentions is that the second base of mikdash was larger than the first, yet the kalim were not moved from their location, and they remained where they were in the first base of mikdash. So too in this shul, one would not be allowed to move the bima from the center. So let's see this last point. If we look in source number 6. So the Chassam Sofer writes, Sha'arei Bayis Sheni Haya Gadol Mibayis Rishon. The second temple was larger than the first. Vafilu Hachi Bunishtanu Ha'amados HaKelim. They did not move the location of the various Kelim in the Mikdash, the Mizbeach, the Menorah, the Shulchan, Bunishtanu Min Ha'emsa. They did not move them from the center, meaning the center as it was in the first bias. Afal pilafi erech habinyon shel ha'achshav, even though if you measured out the second Beis HaMikdash, yeh ha'emtza lahala, mei ha'emtza shehayev Beis HaKnesses ha'ishana. Meaning, even though the center may have moved, nevertheless, they didn't move the kelim around. Mikol makom oso Beis HaKnesses zachalios bima shela be'emtza'a. Right, this shul had the bima in the middle. Kimo karish zacha bedarom. So this is a halacha that when they made the kodesh and they put the krashim around it, they had to stay in a specific order because we're milim kodesh lo moridin. So if something's number 9, we wouldn't move it down to number 1. So too, this bima, which was in the middle of the shul, must remain in the center of the shul. Just because you're doing construction is not a reason you should be allowed to move it up. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they left everything in exactly the same position. So this is a famous phrase of the Chassam Sofer, that Chadash is Asur min HaTorah. So this is a play on words. Chadash means, in the Torah, it refers specifically to a karban, and the karban, karban mincha, which was brought to allow the new grain to be eaten. So the Chassam Sofer uses that as a play on words by saying Chadash as in new things. Those are Asur min HaTorah. I believe this is probably the first tshuva where he uses this this phrase that he's so famous for. Now, Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the Aruch Laner, author of Bikuri Yaakov, see, he also stated that the bima must remain in the middle, but he uses a more symbolic approach rather than a halachic approach. Now, we've quoted this piece multiple times, but it's a good one, so let's see it again. And in this piece, he describes the three purposes that a shul has, But we're just going to skip down to number 3, the third bullet point, because that's the one that really concerns us the most. So the third purpose of a shul, he writes, is spiritual enlightenment and instruction. These ideas are represented by the bima. The bima should be in the middle of the shul, the same way that a seed is embedded in the core of a fruit, as the heart is in the center of the body, as rays emanate from a central pinpoint of light, so too the luchos and the Torah were located in the middle of the encampment of the desert. In our shuls, this idea is represented by the bima, where we read the Torah, which is located in the middle of the shul. This teaches us the centrality of Torah in the life of the Jew. The center represents equality. All of Yisrael has an equal share in Torah. All Jews are reminded by this to guard the Torah. In a battle, there is a flag that must be protected. In the same way, Yisrael has its banner that we rally around and must protect the Torah. This is a beautiful piece, full of imagery explaining why the bima must be in the middle of the shul. Okay, so next, let's look at an incident with Rav Yossi Tzvi Kalbach, as written by his son, Rav Shlomo Kalbach, who was the Mashgiach in Chaim Berlin, who was nifter just a few months ago. Now, the community in Berlin wanted to hire Rav Kalbach to be the chief rabbi of Berlin. So like many communities in Germany, the Berlin community was affected by reform, but there was a strong resurgence of Orthodoxy post Rav Hirsch, Rav Hildesheimer, and others. And Rav Kalbach, though, he was suspicious of taking this position, but the community promised him that they were building a new shul, and this new shul would conform strictly to halacha. Now, those planning the new shul decided they were going to place the bima in the front of the shul, as well as some other things that Rav Kalbach was not pleased about. Now, this is a full chapter in the book, and I'm just trying to summarize a lot of the details. The community board, they told Rav Kalbach that the Würzburger Rav, Rav Seligman Ber Bamberger, that he davened in a shul with a bima in the front, and if it was good enough for him, then it should certainly be good enough for the chief rabbi of Berlin. And the Rav replied with two letters, and we're going to quote from the second one, which was translated into English. So if you look at number 8, this is on page number 2. Okay, so he writes as follows. A follow-up letter to his article added further clarification of the Rav's position. He writes, I deeply regret that the anecdote which I published in your journal from the life of the late Seligman Ber Bamberger, the rabbi of Würzburg, has given rise to some misunderstanding. Many of my readers have erroneously concluded from my story that Rav Bamberger had regarded the change of the position of the Almemar, which is the Bima, as an unimportant detail. It is my intention here, in a few brief paragraphs, to shed more light on the subject and to set things right. The Rambam, as well as Shulchan Aruch, make it quite clear that the Almemar must be situated in the center of the synagogue. This is of great significance. The central location of the Almemar reminds us that the word of the Torah must sound forth from among the midst of the people. Now, let's check out this imagery. From its heavenly origin, symbolized by the elevated ark and the curtain which veils it, the Torah descends into the midst of the Jewish people, right? So it's like coming from heaven, bringing down into the people, in order to proclaim to the nation as its most precious treasure, as the souls of our souls. It is only Christianity that places constant emphasis on the otherworldly nature of the Word of God. We Jews say of our Torah, it is not in heaven. Reform Judaism denied its own origin in its imitation of the Church when it removed the Almemar from its central position and placed an altar up front in their temples. Seligman Ber Bamberger would have been the last man to ignore the unique character of our synagogue. He was so completely steeped in the spirit of the Torah that he would never have voluntarily given up even the most minor requirements of Jewish law. What led him to make the decision, which is the subject of our discussion here, was the fact that he was faced with a most difficult dilemma. He had only two alternatives: to see his community divided into two camps, or to save its unity by some concession. Unity to him was more precious than anything else. So it's worth reading the chapter in the book to get the full picture and understanding of the situation. But at the end of the day, they refused to build the shul in accordance with this halacha. Rav Kalbach did not accept the position as chief rabbi of Berlin. But happens to be the imagery here is beautiful, of coming down from, so to say, from heaven, right, from the Aron Kodesh, and then going into the midst of the people and going up onto the bima. So if you go back to the shir that we did on why the bima is set high, one of the things it represents is Har Sinai, right? So it's coming down, so to say, from heaven, going up onto Har Sinai and being read to the people. So it's really, really nice idea. Okay, so next, let's take a look at the Sri De'esh, who was asked if a Baal Kriya could lane in a shul that has the bima in the front. So first he goes through a sugya, the Rambam, the Ramah, the Kesef Mishnah, and he mentions the Gemara in Sukkah with the shul in Alexandria. He then says that it's usher to move the bima from the middle of the shul, and then cites the Maram Shik, who says that moving the bima from the center is actually chukas agai. Now he gets to the point. Can you daven in a shul with the bima in the wrong location? So let's see the rest of the tshuva inside. So this is number 9. He writes, afal pi sheyesh kan isra la'asos habima b'makom acher. You're not allowed to take the bima out of the middle of the shul. Mikol makom in isra l'isbal sham. It's certainly not usher to daven in such a place. Mikol shekein shein isra likro b'torah b'tzibur. Not only that, but you could lane there as well. That's not a problem. Adirabba, it's exactly the opposite of what you, the questioner, were thinking. Yish kan mitzvah l'zakus esarabba mitzvos kriyas ha-Torah. By you laning there, you're helping people out in their Torah observance by allowing them to participate in this mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. Kiyam ispalalim, sheboyim leispalal b'tzibur lo asu shum iser. Those that are davening in the shul, by and large, they didn't do anything wrong. They're just coming to daven. V'rak bonei beis ha-kinesis v'agaboyim she-shinu. It's who's the ones who changed the shul? It was the building committee. It was the gabayim. But it's not actually the people that are just davening there. They're the ones that did the wrong thing. He says, I never heard of such a thing where the Rabbanim actually said you could not daven in a shul that doesn't have the bima in the middle. So if you look, there's a little star there. And in the footnote, he says that since he wrote this tshuva, he did hear that in Hungary, it was actually, the Rabbanim said it was usher to daven in such a shul. V'yodeani, ki v'ir, kivarti, belita. Hasmucha l'gvul Germania. He says, I know of a shul in Lithuania that was near the German border. Banu beis hakneses v'amidu es habima samach la'aron hakodesh shelo b'rtzon chachamim. So there's a specific shul, and they built the bima all the way up close to the front, and the rabbis of the community didn't like that. V'af al pikein, but nonetheless, lo nimne'u harabanim l'ispal l'sham im nizdamu l'sham. If the great rabbis of the community, if they happened to be near the shul and it was time to daven, they never stopped themselves from going to daven. Then he says, if possible, you shouldn't daven in one of these shuls in a kvius manner, in a set manner, because this kind of gives credence to this kind of setup. However, he says, chas v'shalom levato al yidei kach tefila b'tzibur. But certainly, if you're by the shul, you should go daven there if it's time for minyan. And as we said, the Baal Kriya could certainly go and lane as well. Now, Rav Moshe has two tshuvos on this topic. In the first tshuva, he discusses if the bima needs to be exactly in the center of the shul, or if you could put it on the duchen, right, the platform where the Torah is. And Rav Moshe starts by quoting the Rambam and the Ramah. He says that according to them, the bima needs to be in the middle of the shul so people can hear. Now, according to the Kesef Mishnah, Rav Moshe says, it would only be permitted to place the bima on the west side of the shul if the shul is small, but even he would agree that if it's a large shul, it must be in the middle. And we cannot rely on people coming to the bima when it's not in the center so they could hear. Meaning, in other words, if it's all the way in the back, we cannot just assume that if people can't hear in the front, they're going to get up and go to the back of the shul. So when it comes to a large shul, the bima should be in the middle. Rav Moshe adds that a bigger problem is that in shuls that did not have the bima in the front, there is the possibility that a microphone will be used. Davar habima imtzricha lios b'emsa beis hakneses mamish. Concerning the matter of if the bima has to be literally in the middle of the shul, o sheyesh lahatir gam la'asosa mechubar lemakum hagavoa shesham omed aron hakodesh. Or can we put it all the way in the front of the shul near where the duchen is? Right. What's the duchen? It's the high location where the aron kodesh is. So hine l'tama Rambam, it has to be in the middle. Why? Kadesh Yishmu Kol Ha'am Kriyas HaTorah. So we want everyone to be able to hear what the Baal Kriya is saying. The Ramah agrees as well. But the Kesef Mishnah, as we pointed out, he doesn't say that. But if you have a small shul, so Rashaim La'asos Gam Sham Ki Ein Zeh Inyan Chiv El Lefi Godel Beis HaKnesses. He could put it in the west because this is only so that people should be able to hear. Aval Mashma. But the implication from the Kesef Mishnah is, Shavu Beis HaKnesses Gadol, if you have a large shul, Sarich lasos be'emsa. You still would need to put it in the middle. Shehu b'makom shenishma kriyas haTorah b'chol ha'am b'makom shehim yoshvim. It's the easiest place to be able to hear. Meaning, if you're putting it in the west side of the shul, because the shul is small and it won't be a problem for anyone to hear, so that's fine. But the larger the shul gets, the more central we want the bima to be. V'lo yoyil ma'ashe yavtichu kol ha'kahal l'iskare v'lo ha'bima she'yamidu b'sof beis ha'kanesis b'sha'as kriyas haTorah. We cannot rely that people are going to get up from the front of the shul and walk all the way to the back of the shul to hear kriyas haTorah if they can't hear. Kein lismuch al zeh. We can't rely on people that are going to do this. But the opposite, we're afraid that people might be lazy about it. V'yesh lachush she'yis'atzlu m'l'iskare v'lo ha'bima. They're not going to do it. V'yigrom zeh Sheyavru al mitzvos kriyas haTorah. So from the fact that you didn't put the beam in the middle of the shul, people aren't going to hear laning. So therefore, the larger the shul, the more the Kesef Mishnah would agree that it must be in the middle. U'medina zo, and in America, yesh lachush sheyavi ze sheyavru al isur microphone b'shabasos v'yam tovim ki yadua shenifrat ze b'harvei bati kinesios gidolim. If you don't make the bima in the middle of the shul, people can't hear, and the shul's going to install a microphone. And he says, Rav Moshe, that this has happened. Now, in the second part of the tshuva, Rav Moshe addresses the Chassam Sofer's idea regarding the inner mizbeach and the outer mizbeach. He says the whole thing's really the Chassam Sofer's own idea, and therefore you don't need to have the bima exactly in the middle of the shul according to the Chassam Sofer. So he writes, Avo mikeman shehu rak misvara, below mikor, nira, shemitamze ein lahachmir. You don't have to be so careful about it. Sheyiya mitzumtzum be'emsa. It doesn't have to be exactly in the middle. Visagi sheyiya l'chol apachos mishoch mimakum kivoa shenasa l'aron hakodesh. Makom sheyuchlu lahakif berevach below dachak. So what is the measure, according to the Chassam Sofer? You could push it towards the front, but only if you could easily pass around the bima. Right? You shouldn't have to squeeze your way through. I mean, there has to be enough space between the duchin, right, that high platform where the Aron Kodesh is, and the actual bima. Kitam akafa yoser tam. But to bring it all the way up to the Duchen, right? This location, the high place where the Aron is, who aser lach sam sofer, even in a small shul, the Chassam Sofer would not allow this. However, again, according to the Chassam Sofer, just like we said before, the larger the shul, where you can't possibly hear Kriyas haTorah, so then you must make it in the middle of the shul, because that's the place where you will be able to hear the most. So if we could summarize, it seems like Rav Moshe advocates that the bima, especially the large shul, should be in the middle. According to the Chassam Sofer, it can be toward the front of the shul. But again, the larger the shul, the more of a chiyuv you have to have it in the middle. Now, in the second tshuva, Rav Moshe says that the bima definitely needs to be in the middle. But here, he deals with the question of, can you daven in a shul where the bima is not in the middle? And he says you can. But then, he deals with what the Sri De'esh mentioned in passing, that in Hungary, the Rabbanim made a rule that you cannot daven in such a shul. So this was just a reaction to reform, and not something that needs to be followed in other locations, says Rav Moshe. Now later in the tshuva, he calls this whole thing a horas shah, and he gets something that was just put into place for that time period. Now finally, if there are two shuls, and one with the bima in the center and one not, you should try to daven in the one with the bima in the center. So let's see number 11. Bidavar bima be'emsa, concerning the bima in the middle of a shul, vaday yesh la'asos be'emsa, you should definitely make it in the middle of the shul. Aval inyan lehispalel be'beis ha'kaneses shlo asu be'emsa, but to avoid davening in a place that doesn't have it there, any roa lesser, Rav Moshe says, I don't see a reason that you shouldn't daven in the shul just because the bima is not in the middle. U'masha omrim sheh behungri asru lo yadua zebivar. First of all, he says we don't know this for certain. Mistaber shiya ze rak bim komos haheim. This was in those specific places. Shasu zebishvil reform ki bim komos haheim haya ze me haschalos maisa ha reformer her shayim. This was one of the first things that they did. and therefore the Rabbanan took a strong stance against it, assuming that it happened. Aber mekomos acherim, but in other locations, she'ein kavanasam bishvil reform, why did they move the bima? It wasn't because of reform, but rather, el bishvil she'yiyu yoser mekomos. There's more room in the shul to get more seats in. Votamim ke'ilu, and other such reasons, maybe it looks nicer, whatever the reason is. Ein les or milis baal sham, so we wouldn't ask you from davening there. Ke'ein zeh me'ikare dine kedushas beis ha'knesses, because this is really not connected to the main kedusha of a shul. Elo kedesha yishmu kol misfalim kriyas ha'torah. What's the reason? Again, as we said it many, many times, we want people to be able to hear. So when he looks in the Chassam Sofer at the end over here, it says, even according to the Chassam Sofer's reasoning, we would not asr you from davening in a shul where the bima wasn't in the middle. The im ha'emes ka'ashmua sha'asru be'eze mikomos. If this that we heard is true, that in certain places they wouldn't allow you to daven there, ha'yazerak horas sha' b'medinasam, v'shil ha'reformer. This was only in those specific locations due to reform. It was a reaction. Now finally, v'myeshne bate kenusios, if you have two shuls, be'echad abim abamtsa, and one shul, it's in the middle, be'echad b'tzad acher, and the other one, it's in a different location, it's not in the middle, you should yesh likboa makum tfilas v'beis ha'knesset shabim abamtsa, you should set the place where you typically daven in the shul where it's in the middle, because that's proper. They did it the right way. Now, finally, how do you measure the center of the shul? So in Makom Shenagu, which discusses the shul in Bechafen, so the author writes that they measured the middle of the synagogue starting from the ark, not the actual eastern wall. Now in the footnote, he explains how this works. So let's see number 12. And here he writes, in order to find the correct position of the Almemar, the center of the synagogue, they actually measured the space available for use, and using that measurement, they then installed the Almemar. Often, this led to the Almemar being situated in the east, near the Ark, especially when the women's section was located in the west of the synagogue. So, when you see the inside of a shul, and you want to measure it to figure out where the bima goes, you subtract the Aron Kodesh, and you subtract other things that are in the room, such as the Ezras Nashim, which may be in certain shuls in the back. So I thought this was particularly interesting, because when you walk into a shul and the bima is not quite in the center, you need to take into account the actual floor plan and not just the full size of the room. So these are some of the sources that discuss where the bima is supposed to be placed, the importance of putting the bima in the middle of the shul, which clearly we see that's really the proper place for it, what's called the middle, and sources that allow placing the bima on the western side of the shul, and the argument with form regarding placing the bima all the way in the east in the front of the shul. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or comments, you could email me at danielyadler@gmail.com.